Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. What is it that marks us as Christians? What is it that sets us apart? In today's message, the Apostle Paul gives us in his letter to the Roman Church a list of marks that define the Christian ethos. But more than a set of instructions or a new group of commandments, the common theme in all these is God's divine love. So grab your Bible, turn it to Romans chapter 12, and join us as we take a closer look at the heart of the matter. Please take out your Bibles and open them with me, either the ones you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them to the book of Romans chapter 12. We are still looking at theology for ministry. We are studying God. We are making a study of God to find out more about who He is. We are made in His image. And as image bearers of God, as image bearers of Christ, what does that image look like for us? How are we to portray God to the world? So we are going to look at that today in the way that God loves. And let us hear from the word of the Lord for us this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What marks us? The heading in today's reading says it's the marks of a Christian. So what marks us as Christians? Yesterday, Aaron and I participated in a race in Philadelphia. It was called Color Me Rad. It's a stupid name. Whatever. The whole point of it is this, to have fun. It's not really a race to see who wins. I'm sure there are some competitive people who run the thing like crazy. But the whole point of it is to have fun. They give you color packets that are dye made with cornstarch so it doesn't mess with anybody's allergies. And you just pelt each other with this colored powder. Everybody goes wearing white. And at the end of the day, it's not white anymore. It's not white anymore. So Aaron and I went, and we also took Isaac, and we put him in a white onesie and pushed him in the stroller. And we had a blast. We had a great time. And afterwards, oh, by the way, I should point out one other thing. I was wearing a green tutu. Because we were there the day before, and the tutus were on sale. They were $8. So I said, why not? So after the race, on the way back, we were on 130, and we stopped at the Metro Diner to have breakfast. And we went in just like that. I even wore the tutu and everything. Now, they couldn't quite put their finger on it. But there was something different about this family that just walked in to the diner. And as I looked around, there were a lot of people who were dressed probably similar to the way you're dressed right now. And we really stood out. I mean, they could tell that we had done something, but they didn't know what. So it actually raised a lot of questions. People were coming over to us and saying, you know, what gives? What's with all the color and everything? We would explain to them about the color run and how much fun we had. Everybody said how cute Isaac was. But, you know, there was something that marked us and set us apart from the other people in the diner. What we're looking at today are the marks of a Christian, marks of a true Christian. But before we do this, we need a point of reference. We need a point of reference. You see, sailors navigate by the stars because the stars are constant. They don't change. I mean, they change in position according to the time of day, but they are always right there. So we need a point of reference. And the point of reference for us today is love. Love. We have one word for love, and so we are constrained because when we talk about love, we could be talking about any variety of different shades of love. I could say, ooh, I really love this hamburger. You know, I'm going to eat it. It's going to be gone, and then I'll forget it. But I love it. Right at this moment, I love this hamburger. We can say, I love my mother. I love my father. We could say, you know, I really love that comedian on TV. He's really funny. We have different shades of love. And the Greeks also had different shades of love, but they also had different words for different meanings of love. The two main words that they had for love were phileo, which is a brotherly love, a love for of kinship, a love of friendship, a love for your family members. You had eros. Eros was an earthly kind of love, the romantic love between a man and a woman, eros. But there was one word that the Greeks didn't have until the New Testament. This word, agape, it only exists in the New Testament. It only exists in the Bible. It's a purely Christian construct because there's no concept for what agape is. And to see what agape is, it is a divine love. To see what it truly is, we have to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's that divine love, that agape love. It's a self-sacrificial love. It's a giving love. It's a love that gives and never asks anything in return or expects any kind of recompense. It is a fully sacrificial, giving, and selfless love. And we as human beings are completely incapable of that kind of love. We are. We're flawed. We're broken. We cannot give that kind of love. But through God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we are able to reflect the love that God has for us, that perfect, unconditional, giving, selfless love, that agape love. That's our point of reference for today. I want to look at this chapter again, this reading, and bear in mind that everything that Paul is talking about begins with that agape love. He starts and says, let love be genuine. Let it be genuine. It's not fake. It's not manufactured. It's not something that you show someone just to get something. Let it be genuine. And then he says, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Cling to the good things and abhor those things that are not of God. love one another with mutual affection. Now there he uses the word phileo. Love one another with mutual affection. It's a friendship. It calls to mind Christ's commandment at the Last Supper, when he said, love one another as I have loved you. But he says, love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Almost make it a competition among yourselves. Have you ever tried to outdo someone in giving? You know, make it a contest. But not to be competitive, but in order to be giving. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. You know, if we're not careful, we can read these things almost as if they were some kind of list of instructions. How are we to live? Almost like a New Testament version of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs can tend to be very disjointed. You can read Proverbs out of context because they each deal with some sort of morality. And yet, these things are all anchored in the one thing, which is love. Love, that self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. All these things are very easy. And then Paul moves in to the very hard things. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. What? That's something, it's contrary to everything that we are told. Everything that we are grown up to believe. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. What happened to, you know, I'll do to you what you do to me. But he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. What did Jesus do on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. St. Stephen, as he was being stoned, said, Lord, do not count the sin against them. He's praying for the people who were killing him. In verse 15, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We are to show compassion. We are to feel empathy with the people around us and not just be wrapped up in our own little worlds. But we have to be mindful of how other people are suffering and how other people are feeling at any given moment. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Don't lift yourself up. Jesus told this parable of a person who went to a banquet, and he said, if the person goes and sits at a higher seat, then the host may come and say, no, sit down here. And then you would be embarrassed because you were made to sit in a lower seat. But he says, when you go to the banquet, sit in the lowest seat so that the host may say, no, friend, come and sit here in a higher place of honor. He said, those who exalt themselves will be made low, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. None of this retaliation. He goes on to say, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And so far as it depends on you, you have to do your part. Your part is to live peaceably. If somebody comes to you and refuses to live peaceably with you, well, that's on them. You do your part. As far as it is possible, he says. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. He's not saying to pray to God that vengeance will be done. But he's saying, let vengeance be at God's hand. God will repay. He says, no, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you heap burning coals on their heads. Now, that's a colloquialism of the time. It basically meant that they would be shamed. To have burning coals on your head would mean to be ashamed or embarrassed by your own behavior. So he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we retaliate, as Gandhi said, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. When we retaliate, it goes on and on and on and never ends. Everything in this passage today is precipitated by love. God's love, his agape love, his perfect and giving and selfless sacrificial love. You know, last week we learned what it meant to be in the body of Christ, that we were all parts, that we are all members of the body of Christ, and we each have a part to play. And this week, it's all about how to extend Christ's love into the world, how to be the body in the world, how to go out and interact with others. And nowhere in this text does it say that this is how we are to treat fellow believers. It does not place that condition on God's agape love. It says merely that that's how we are to treat others. Others. People other than ourselves. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Without hesitation, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, if that's all you ever do, if all you ever do is to love God with all your heart, and to love God with complete abandon, and to love your neighbor the way you love yourself, if that's all you ever do, everything else will fall into place. And it's the same with these commandments here. Like I said at the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you love one another. As I have loved you, as Jesus loved us. How did he love us? He gave himself. He says later on, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that they laid down their lives for their friends. A sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. God sent his Son to be that sacrifice for us. And not even for people who were being obedient to him, but especially for those who were being disobedient. That's who God sent his Son for. Jesus said, I came not to save the righteous, but the sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. That's who he came for. He came for each one of us. Christ's new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, is at the heart of this reading today. Let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. This agape love. And let that be our starting point. So now that we have our point of reference, the very heart of the matter is this. Love. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love one another. Bear the mark of Christ. Be his love in the world. That is our calling. That is our commandment. Is it easy? No. It's not. But neither was it easy for Christ to go to the cross for our sins, as he gave all for us. Let us love all for him. Let us pray. Almighty, most loving God, we offer ourselves to you this day and every day, that we may be your love in the world. Fill our hearts with your Spirit, that we may be light and love to a world so desperately in need of your joy and peace. Let us spread your love to all, not just the ones that are easy to love, but to our enemies as well. You who make the sun rise and set on both the wicked and the righteous alike. You who send the rain on both the good and the evil. We pray for your Spirit to guide us in all we do, that in loving all we may point others to you and to your glory. All these things we ask in the name of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.